how to sell more cars.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the How to Sell More Cars podcast. I'm Terry Lancaster, and I'm the host of How to Sell More Cars. I'm also the author of How to Sell More Cars, and I wrote the book. I wrote the book, How to Sell More Cars, just about 3 years ago. It was right in the middle of COVID. Everything had shut down. So one thing I did in the middle of COVID is I'd been doing my podcast at the time was called the Get You Some Radio Show. And I had been doing the Get You Some Radio Show. And I went ballistic right after COVID started. And I interviewed every person at every store I could get my hands on. And just quick 5 minute interviews. What's going on the ground right now? William J. was one of the ones that I had a chance to talk to back then when this was going on. And what we did, what came out of that is that out of all those interviews and all the dozens of interviews I'd done with some of the top performing salespeople in the automotive industry and some of the best sales trainers in the automotive industry, is I took all of that information and I coalesced it into the How to Sell More Cars book, How to Sell More Cars, Make More Friends, Sell More Cars, Make More Money, Have More Friends, Sell More Cars. And the thing about writing a book is you think books are forever, right? So we spent, you know, the last couple thousand years building these huge libraries to store all the books, because books are permanent records. And you sit down at the computer screen and you put all these words into the book and you finally get it back and you go, well, there it is. I've got the book. And you think it's forever, but the thing is, nothing lasts forever. So what I wanted to do tonight was have a little bit of a conversation about what's changed in the last 3 years since COVID, since everything. I mean, you know, COVID overnight changed everything. But then as we came out of COVID, it's been a ride since then, too. We've gone through all these changes. As we came out of COVID, then the inventory crisis hit. The inventory crisis hit, and it didn't matter that people could come back to the lot because the dealers didn't have any cars on the lot. And so I know a ton of dealers who had a chance to get new asphalt on the car lot over the last couple of years because they ain't had no cars blocking the way. So you had all that going on. So I sat down just this last week and I recorded I was recording the audio book for How to Sell More Cars, which is going to be released here in the next couple of weeks. But as I was recording the audio book, I wanted to record an afterword of what the changes are in the last 3 years. So I dug in over the last couple of weeks and I reached out to some folks and asked people their opinions and tried to hear back from them about what's changed. And I put that in the audiobook, what's changed just in the last 3 years, not over the last 10 years, not since the internet started, not since all the lead providers came in, not since Facebook got so strong. But what's changed over the last 3 years? And honestly, one of the things that I was going to talk about and when I was in the afterword was I was thinking that I needed to put some comment in there about Facebook, because a lot of what I talk about in the book is using Facebook to connect with your customers. Because Facebook, I said at the time, was the 800-pound gorilla of social media. When you talk about social media, you're talking about Facebook. And over the last couple of years, I had kind of gotten the impression that maybe Facebook was slipping. When people start talking about Facebook, I mean, talking about social media, all they want to talk about is they talk about Instagram and they talk about TikTok. I happen to use LinkedIn a lot, actually. So LinkedIn has really surpassed Facebook for me in terms of what I use, because most of my customers are the general managers and dealer principals of car dealerships, and I have better luck contacting them on LinkedIn than on Facebook. But for people who sell cars for a living, Facebook is the 800-pound gorilla, because Facebook is everybody. I was fully prepared to say that maybe you needed to back off Facebook and start looking at some other areas to connect with the customers, and until I did the research. And over the last 3 years since I wrote the book, Facebook has done nothing but continue to grow. If it was the 800-pound gorilla 3 years ago, it's an 850-pound gorilla now. Just last year, in 2022 alone, Facebook added 10 million new average monthly users. That's people who log onto the site every single month. They have an account. They check it at least once a month. They added 10 million of those just last year, bringing their numbers up to 95% in the United States and North America. 95% of the adult population is a monthly Facebook user. They have a Facebook account and they use it every month. They're going to be there. So what I said in the forward is, now you know two things. The whole central purpose of the book is to encourage people to make more friends and sell more cars, because if you sell cars for a living, the world is a target-rich environment. Everybody drives a car. Everybody you've ever met drives a car. Everybody you've ever going to meet, unless you live in New York City or Uganda, everybody's a car buyer one day, sooner or later. The other thing you know about every person you meet, every person you're going to meet, everybody you see on the street, everybody you drive past, everybody you meet at the grocery store, they're a car buyer. And there's a 95% chance they're going to be on Facebook. So they're going to be on Facebook soon. So if you're using Facebook, I've said it before, it's the world's greatest CRM, and it continues to be so. But the note that I added in there was that, you know, if TikTok is your jam and you love making videos and getting out and doing things and putting yourself out there, great, use it. If you're an Instagram freak and you love getting pictures and taking pictures and sharing them all over the world, good on you. Do more of that. If you like Snapchat, if you deal with a lot of business customers, entrepreneurs, or you're a member of the Rotary Club and you connect with everybody on the LinkedIn, great, good on you. Do more of that. If you want to connect with people, however you're already connecting with them, however they want to be connected with, that's all great. The caveat that I put in there was that make sure you're making more connections and not just making more noise. Use faith. That's what I like about Facebook and LinkedIn, is that they're two-way communications. People confuse social media with an advertising platform like radio or TV. And, you know, Vic, you know, I'm all about big old loud radio and TV spots, but they are one-way communications. You're talking to people. When you're talking about social media, specifically Facebook, specifically LinkedIn, it's a two-way conversation. It's about making those connections, because if you don't have the connections, you can post all the Facebook lives that you want. You can record all the videos that you want. You can do all everything that you want. But if you don't have the connections, you're just screaming into an empty room. So make more friends, sell more cars. That continues to hold as true today as it did 3 years ago when I put it in the book. One of the things I warned people in the book was to watch out, because the robots are coming for your job. I said in the book that the robots are coming for your job. And if you want to be in the car sales business for the long term, you're going to have to do the one thing that the robots can't do, the one thing that Madison Avenue won't do, and the one thing that the world's greatest salespeople have always done, and that is to build better relationships. The robots can't build relationships because they're robots. Only you can make more friends. But the robots are here. Really, just in the last few months, and since the beginning of this year, ChatGPT-4, OpenAI, whatever it is called, has come out, and it's really turned everything upside down. And if there's not now, there soon will be. As a matter of fact, one company I know of had a big release today about how they're implementing AI. And if there's not a robot that can take a lead from start to finish, from click to click to click to click to done, it's going to happen soon. If you combine digital retailing with a chat robot that can do all the deed, you know, that's going to be a possibility. And those robots are working on commission too. It's your commission. Somebody's got to pay for the robots. And if that doesn't happen, then you got the EV situation where they could possibly completely sell around the dealership with the Tesla challenging all the dealer franchise laws and Ford splitting things up so that they don't have to abide by the franchise laws for their EV sides of it. So the robots and electric vehicles are coming for the dealership structure and AI. I talked in the afterword about the Turing test. For the last 100 years, nerds and sci-fi aficionados and computer nerds have talked about the Turing test, which is the test that if you're dealing with a computer, if you're engaging with a computer, the Turing test is whether if that's completely blind, you can tell if it's a robot or a computer on the other side. And they never could pass the Turing test until this year. And you could be chatting along just fine, typing it in with a robot, and you would never even know it. They're a million times better than a lot of Indian boiler rooms that they had set up before to do a lot of the stuff. So the robots are coming for your jobs, and they're here. That's one of the big changes. But the biggest change I've seen in the last 3 years, and when I talk to dealers over the last couple of weeks about this, the biggest change is actually the fact that it's not really different. The biggest change is all of the stuff that happened, boom, overnight when COVID struck. We had to go to a lot more distance selling, a lot more asynchronous selling, using video and selling to faraway places and delivering cars. What seemed like a novelty 3 years ago is just another day in the life now. I got a buddy, Mitch James, up at Victoria Genesis in British Columbia. He told me, he said, you know, the thing is that this is just every day now. Every day we're dealing with customers from all over Canada. Because during the COVID crisis, when you couldn't find a vehicle you were looking for, you had to broaden your search to look all around. And then when you start looking all around, you realize that you can compete a dealer in Carbondale, Illinois, against a dealer in Charlottesville, West Virginia. And you know, that your competition isn't just the dealer on your street now, isn't just the dealer up and down the motor mile. It isn't even the dealer the next town over. It's the dealer all across the world. And it's even more than that. It's not just the dealers around the world. It's everyone, your customers, do business with. Your customers get used to doing business a certain way, and that's the way they want to do business. Mitch told me, he said, you know, once customers get used to buying cars this way, and they can buy it over the phone, sitting on their couch watching TV, then that's the way people are going to buy cars. And that's the way they're doing it, because that's the way they buy their toilet paper on Amazon. That's the way they buy their televisions on Walmart.com. Your competition is whoever your customers are spending money with, and they want it to be as easy and as quick to buy cars from you as it is to buy a pack of toilet paper from Amazon. And COVID, that hasn't changed since COVID. That's the way it always is. The only thing that's changed is the change is happening faster now. The only constant in the car business is constant change. And that's what I talk about in the afterword of the book. And that's all I had to talk about today, was those three things: AI popping up, how social media was basically still Facebook, and then how the what seemed like a novelty just a few years ago is actually ordinary, customary, day-to-day business now in the car business. So if there's anyone got anything they want to add to that, any questions or anything else you want to talk about, William, you can go ahead and chime in. Vic, if you want to shoot me a message through the chat bar, I'll be happy to answer any questions or talk about anything you want to talk about. William J.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hard to miss. I'm in a construction zone right now. Yeah.
I'm trying to get you unpinned here. You go ahead.
Yeah. So anyhow, with that piece that you're just talking about, I mean, I got a phone call today from a customer that I hadn't seen for like 3 years, but because, you know, my number was saved to my cell phone was saved to theirs. When they got their car totaled in an accident recently, and I found out about it today, said, yeah, that the insurance company had already set it up, and she's going to want to replace it with another one. So, you know, she's put me on task to find one. And this is, again, just keep in mind, this is a customer that I had at my last store that's followed with me.
Right.
Because stay in touch.
Yeah. And she called you because you were in her phone and she was in your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the main thing then is one thing I talk about is because social media, even if it does change, even if something happens and Facebook isn't the 850-pound gorilla, it doesn't matter because the job is still the same. The job is making connections and making friends, and social media, whether it's Facebook or whether it's your cell phone and text messaging, those are just the tools that you got to use. And the fact is, you got to use every tool in the shed because you don't know what's going to be strong 3 years from now when they wreck the car. And you've got to be and connected at every point you can. Make sure you're connected on LinkedIn. Make sure you're connected on Facebook, and make sure your number is in their phone.
Yeah, and a great thing okay, so Vic's got a question here. So yeah, this one.
And Vic says, how can you help us with Facebook?
Well, Facebook is great for a couple of things specifically. Okay. You're going to tap into the network of whoever it is that you're selling a car to, that you're making those connections with. So then you're expanding your own audience by proxy, right? But you're also going to have those posts that come up, you know, a year later for the anniversary of this or that, with the picture coming back up as a reminder. You're going to get the reminders if you're connected of their birthdays, so that you can wish them a happy birthday and stay top of mind that way. It's like you said, it's a CRM. You can go into it that way and look at it in that regard and stay on top of everything. I've got a routine every morning. Go in to check the Facebook messages, but also want to check to see who's having a birthday that day and make sure I send them a birthday message, so that at least I've got that out there for the day. First thing I do,
yeah,
before the day gets.
Yeah, and like you said, if so a couple of things. Here's the Facebook tip. His routine is you come in, you look on because it says who's everybody's birthday is, and you can go go wish them a happy birthday. One thing I advise salespeople to do is when you get to the dealership every morning, check in at the dealership. If you're not used to doing anything else, or if you're not posting anything else on Facebook, if you just go check in at the dealership, and I'll be glad to show anyone who doesn't know how to do that how to do that. But if you'll check in at the dealership and let your Facebook friends know that that you're at the dealership, it's where you work, and that you like working there, that you're proud to work there, that you're having a good time there. It's a fun place to be. Nothing scary about being here at all. And you can check in and remind them every day of where you are and what you do and how you can help them, and that they've got a friend in the car business. So you check in at the dealership. Then if you sell a car, you make sure that your customers, you make sure your salespeople are making friends with those customers and posting their pictures and tagging them in those pictures. That way, like William was saying, a year from now, Facebook will automatically remind you and them that, hey, 1 year ago today, you bought a vehicle, and the dealership and the salesperson you bought it from, and it gives you a chance to remind them and go in and say that. And most importantly, because every person in America who has a Facebook page has on average 250 to 300 Facebook friends, if you're tagging them in a picture, a delivery vehicle, and a year later it's reminding them that that you bought the vehicle here, then it's reminding them and their 250 closest friends.
Exactly. And then the other caveat is when you're done with the sale, you've got that delivery done. Everybody's shaking hands and getting ready to go home, right? But ask for the review. The reviews are huge. And you and I've had this talk many times, Terry.
Yeah.
Because then that becomes social proof that lives forever on Google and on Facebook and wherever else, Yelp, whatever sites that they're using, right? So if you direct them to that your audience is utilizing to find the dealership, then you can go ahead and screen grab that. You can add that to a post. You can tout yourself a little bit with pat on the back. Hey, thanks for the great review. Tag the customer for the review, and just use that as a little bit of a more social proof. Because again, if you're tagging the customer, you're tagging all their friends by proxy to follow them. So you're expanding your eyes to people that can look out and see you. And the repetition breeds, remembrance, right?
So that's right. Frequency is the key to the unconscious mind. That's how you get in there.
Exactly. So the more frequently they're going to see him popping up, the more they're going to be like, who is this guy? Let me check him out a little bit.
Exactly.
Who is this girl?
Yeah, and the thing about reviews is it doesn't make any difference, and this always amazes me, so I always take a chance to point it out, is you might think that reading a review on Facebook or reading a review on Google or on Yelp or on Amazon or wherever, well, okay, you look at that pretty much with the same eyes that you would view a radio or TV spot. That's the electronic communications. But people don't look at it that way. They look at something they read on a review with 5 stars beside it. That is just as powerful to them as if it was a referral coming from their best friend sitting right in the chair beside them. They psychologists have done this, and anytime they see it in print, human beings are herd creatures. No one wants to test the waters on your own But if you can, if you can find out, oh, all these other people are buying from William J. All these people are giving him 5 stars. Look at all the nice things they have to say about them. when I was in college and I was dating, I used to, I had this little joke. Every time I would see my wife, I'd see my girlfriend, I would say something about, you know, don't forget, I'm a nice guy and a wonderful human being. And I repeated it over and over and over long enough that she started to believe it. And then she married me, and we've been together 35 years. So me pushing the frequency button about a nice guy I was, it must have stuck. Vic had a question about, doesn't it get overwhelming for people, for the customers, with all these salespeople on Facebook and all the photos every day? And I'll let anybody else talk about this too. But the two things I say about this is, number one, make sure you're making more friends and not just more noise. You know, talk about what's going on, but you don't have to be on there 5 times a day talking about vehicles. And we've got new Chevy Silverados for $199 a month, or $299 a month, or $499 a month, or we got new snow tires on sale. Every communication on Facebook doesn't have to be an ad. It just has to be your life, living your life out loud. You know, what's going on at the store, people at the store having a good time, people where, you know, on the 4th of July out there cooking hot dogs and barbecue and hamburgers, and sharing the behind the scenes stuff going on at the dealership. So it's not going to get overwhelming unless it gets cheesy. If you're on there 10 times a day, just selling metal, just making deals, hurry up, get it on here, get in there, they're going fast, and it sounds like a big old loud radio commercial, then yeah, people are going to get tired of that. But so don't do that all day. The other thing is, and this is the beautiful thing of what I love about Facebook, is so the average person in America has 250 to 300 friends on Facebook. But the average person in America has almost zero car salespeople that they're connected to on Facebook. Zero. So if you get on there and you're one of their 300 friends, but you're the only one who sells cars, you have a completely dedicated market. So it's not like, I mean, most of the car salespeople I know, they're connected to a million other car salespeople. And if you go look at my feed, it's car sales all day long, because I'm connected. I've got 5,000 connections. I'm connected to dealers from Moose Jaw, Manitoba to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to Miami, Florida. Thousands of car salespeople and car dealers. So mine is car sales all the time, because that's what I'm interested in and that's what I'm looking for. But you know, the average Joe Blow, he's not connected to that many people, first of all, that many salespeople or people in the car business, third of all, and that's not what he's interested in. He's interested in hunting and fishing and his kids' soccer games and going bowling, and that's what's on his timeline. And then every once in a while, there'll be something from his friend in the car business and showing what you've got going on at the dealership, what's fun going on at your store.
Yeah, and you know, our good friend Matt Koenig, who introduced us to one another, Matt had that saying that he's had it for years: be social, not salesy, right? So
yeah,
good example, right? So I switched dealerships 2 years ago. The company I'm with now made me an offer. Said, you know, we know how we like what you're doing with social media and everything. But, you know, they're the title sponsor of a weekly concert series in town. So they said, if you'd like, you know, go out there and you can promote yourself there. So they give me a chance to take the stage every week.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's kind of a daunting thing, right? It's a little nervous doing it the first time, but you know, last week, I decided to do something different. I went live backstage before it was my turn to talk. And I'm back there and I'm showing the first band up on stage. And I just put the title of it as, you know, backstage, Live on Love, or something like that. And overnight, I had well over 200 views of that video.
Yeah.
And I'm not in a very big area either. There's really not a ton of people in this marketplace.
What's the population in your town, William?
I don't know the exact population. I'd say, you know, if you took the expanded area, it's probably 50,000, if that.
Yeah. And that's what I tell everyone, is that you don't have to be there's such a thing as called Facebook famous, and it's, you know, the joke is that makes you like Monopoly rich. Except it's not, because Facebook famous means I have 5,000 friends who know, like, and trust me. And if I've got 5,000 friends who know, like, and trust me. And those are those happen to be potential customers for me. That's all you will ever need. If you can't make a living off 5,000 people who know, like, and trust you, then you got something going wrong. So, I mean, you don't have to be Kanye famous. You don't have to be, you know, one of the Kardashians. You can be a micro celebrity just by connecting with the right people and delivering the right message and staying involved in their life. And that's everything I talk about is if you want customers to keep showing up in your life, you got to keep showing up in theirs.
Yeah, with the social medias, one of my mentors is a guy named Casey Nix out of Texas. Casey's one of the corporate trainers at Toyota, and he used to say, you want to become like the unofficial mayor of your town, virtually anyway, on social media. And by that, it just means just make sure that when you go out and about, people see you, they know you, they know what you do. And the more people that you're going to run into that recognize you and know what you do, you know, if they see you, I can't tell you how many times I go out in public and I get pulled aside and people just want to talk about cars. We'll get into a conversation. Then, you know, we're working a car deal for them, or maybe it's one of their family members that they're trying to refer over to me, that they're asking about availability or something like that. So, you know, it's just one of those things where the more you put out there, the more interactions you're going to have. You know, you don't want to be one of those guys that's just out there waiting for the next car to pull up on the lot and being the lot vulture. You want to be sitting in your office, taking a call, setting the appointment. When they come in, you know exactly what you're dealing with.
One of the things I talked about in the afterword of the book is with all the social media changes, with all the technology changes, with all the industry changes going on, the only way for you to stay in the deal is to get ahead of the deal. Because if you're out on the lot waiting for it, if you're sitting by the phone waiting for it to ring, if you're waiting for a lead to come in, eventually someone else is going to be there to do that part, and maybe the robots will cut you in for half the mini deal that they make when they sell that car on ChatGPT. Maybe they just pay you $15 an hour to deliver it. But if you want to stay in the deal, you got to get ahead of the deal. And that means connecting with people before they raise their hand to say, I want to buy a car, and being their friend in the car business, being the mayor, being out and about, talking to people, shaking hands, kissing babies. William, it's 7:33. I promise everybody will get out of here right at 7:30, so we'll keep it quick and short. I'm going to give you the last word. Actually, I'm going to ask you a question. My question was, like I said, I've been working on this for about 3 weeks. 3 years, just going back 3 years, back to to the summer of COVID, the summer of 2020, to where we are right now. What do you think the biggest changes in the car business and the marketing and sales of cars have been?
Probably the openness of information. You know, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to show up to know about what cars are there. You know, the only reason people come to the dealership now is availability to give you a wet signature and get on about their business.
Yeah. And you get that wet signature on the front porch. If the deal works, it can be done. They can find out everything they need online. There are people who will sell them a car without them ever having to set foot in the dealership if they have to go get the wet signature there, however it has to be done. So, and once people get used to that, and that's nothing new. It's just happening faster with more regularity. So this is the way things are and going to be. Everyone, we'll see you next time. Y'all be good.